Good morning. Welcome to Wesley Memorial Church on this, the beginning of Advent, the beginning of the church year. Welcome here in person and welcome on Zoom, and welcome to anyone who is here for the first time. And a special welcome to Jacob and people here supporting him. And we look forward to receiving you into the church shortly. The service this morning is led by the Reverend Miriam Moore, our superintendent minister and minister of our church, and we look forward to your service, Miriam.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you and to welcome you on this Advent Sunday. For once, Advent Sunday coincides with the 1st of December, so I hope that you have opened your Advent calendar, if you have one, this morning, and imbibed of either chocolate or whatever other slightly random piece of food or otherwise you might have discovered. So we begin today with our Advent liturgy, and I'm delighted to welcome Oliver to come and lead us in our words and in our lighting of the first candle. Thank you, Oliver.
We light this candle for all God's people, struggling to be bearers of hope.
Have you switched? There we go.
Start again. We light this candle for all God's people, struggling to be bearers of hope in a troubled world. Holy God. As we wait for your promise, give light, give hope.
Let us pray. A candle burns, the sign of our hope. God of hope, come to us again this Advent. May your hope live within us, burning as a light in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Oliver. Friends, as we enter this Advent season, there is a plethora of Advent music, and we are going to be singing some Advent hymns this morning. We begin, if you're following in a hymn book, in Singing the Faith, number 169. Words will appear on the screen. We sing together, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Please do be seated. And let us pray. God of all glory, you brought the universe into existence and raised up witnesses to your greatness and your love. We praise and adore you. Grant that by the inspiration of your Spirit, we may worship and serve you and praise your holy name. We also come at the beginning of this Advent season to confess our sins before God, trusting in God's everlasting mercy and forgiveness. Holy and forgiving God, we come recognizing that we have sinned against you and against each other. We have turned from your life-giving word and ignored the message of those you have sent. We are unprepared for the coming of your Son. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, that strengthened by your love, we may serve you faithfully. In just a moment of quiet, we bring our prayers before God. Siblings in Christ, we remember the words of the psalmist that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far have you taken our sins from us. We are forgiven people. May we live in the love and light of that forgiveness each and every day. Amen. Friends, as we enter this season of Advent, we often talk about watching and waiting for the coming of Jesus. Now, would any of our young people, and also those of you who are slightly older, be willing to play a game with me? Anyone willing to come and play a game? Boys, willing to come and play a game? Say again, Edmund. As long as there's exercise involved. Excellent. Well, would you like to be in charge, Edmund? Excellent. So, we are going to play a game of Edmund Says. Okay? So, I probably need you to be in the middle so that people can see you. And I think those of you who can be really energetic can join in. And others who can perhaps just move your arms in your seat, we can do that too. So, Edmund, you know how to play? You're going to go for it? Big, loud voice. Oh, touch the ceiling. Well, we can try. Okay, we're trying. Oh, we're still going because you've not said stop. Edmund says stop. Open the automatic doors. Well, they've just done it, but I don't think anyone did it. Anything energetic, Edmund? Come on, let's have a go. Sprint round the room 10 times. Off you go. Not sure that we're quite going to manage 10. But... Right, next thing. How about some star jumps? Should we try those?
Edmund says do 50 star jumps.
Goodness me. I was going to join in, but I'm not sure I can manage 50. Right. That's a lot. Okay, we're going to stop there. Miriam says stop. The power. Edmund says don't stop. No. Lovely. Thank you. Don't go away for a minute, because I want another volunteer to be in charge. Leonardo, would you like to be in charge? But hang on a moment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have to watch what you're doing. You're not going to speak, but people are going to have to copy what you're doing. So can you come and stand in the middle? And can you face the people so that they can see you? Oh, okay, off you go. Junior church, we're just burning some energy. It's all good. All good. Okay, I think we'll stop there, shall we? Fair. Oh, you can just keep running around. It's all good. Leonardo, would you stop? No, let him go. So, in this season of watching and waiting, we're not watching quite so much, and we're not waiting. But it's important to remember, just let them keep going, it's all good. It's important to remember that there are moments where we need to stop, and we need to wait, and we need to listen, and we need to be still. And that's really difficult for some of us. We've got lots of energy, and we need to move, and we need to be out there, and we need to be excited. But in this season that seems so full and so busy and so glittery, it can sometimes be really difficult to wait and to watch for Jesus. Yet if we watch really carefully and we wait really patiently, we will see glimpses of God's glory every day. Even when we're running around the church at full speed, we will see God at work. So we're going to pray for our young people, and then we're going to let that energy go. Sorry, junior church leaders. I'm just going to pray for a moment, and then I'll invite you to join me in the word. So let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of our young people of all ages, for your people that you call here to run around the church, to be joyous in this space that we call home. So, Holy One, we pray for our young people, we pray for their leaders, we pray for all that they will share this morning, and we ask your blessing on all of us. We share together the words on the screen. The Lord be with you. Off you go. You're still running. Goodness me. What energy. Sorry, Mel. It's a bit like I used to do with school assemblies, rile up the children and then leave. It's all good fun. All good fun. We can have just a moment of watching and waiting, friends. I'm delighted this morning that we have an extra special part of our service, and we're going to confirm and receive into membership Jacob. Jacob is going to come and join me now. And some of you may have met Jacob. Jacob joined us as term began this year and is studying theology at Mansfield College. So we're going to hear a little bit of Jacob's testimony in a moment, but it is a real joy to welcome you here, Jacob, and we're delighted to be able to confirm and receive you into membership today. Words will appear on the screen, friends. You are invited to join the words that are for the congregation. Those will become clear to you. And please do give your responses heartily. We are here to welcome Jacob into this community with joy. So please do be enthusiastic. And if you're not quite as enthusiastic as I'd like you to be, I might make you do it again. So just a warning, heads up for that. So, are you okay? You've got everything you need. Marvellous. So, siblings in Christ, by grace, through the sign and seal of baptism, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we become God's people, the church. In confirmation, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that we may remain in Christ forever as his faithful servants and witnesses. So let us pray. Living God, may all who are baptized into Christ be sustained by the Holy Spirit, that through lives of faith and love, your grace may be known and your name honored, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the rubric in the book tells me that the candidate should stand. So, Jacob, at your baptism into Christ, God offered you the gifts of his grace and has constantly been at work in your life. In this moment, God offers to strengthen you by his Spirit and invites you to respond.
I thank God.
Thank you. And now we get to hear your testimony, Jacob. So over to you.
So I'll begin by noting that I've never found myself to be particularly good at organizing my thoughts on my faith journey, in part due to what I see as its inherent ineffability. So I apologize if this testimony sounds more like one of my tutorial essays, but here we go. If you told me just 2 years ago, at the start of my sixth form education, that I would be studying theology at Oxford, I would have been surprised. If you'd have told me that I would be getting confirmed into the church, I would have laughed in your face. At this time, I was a decidedly angry and pessimistic atheist materialist, with unashamedly derogatory views about religious people and the dogmas to which they supposedly blindly held. Yet, as I started to study Christianity, my mind began to open, and my horizons began to broaden, with the sobering realization that my previous assumptions about the legitimacy of God and faith were not infallible. I began to see the benefits of faith, the beauty of Christian love, and the eternally relevant guidance of Scripture. However, it was not merely through greater exploration of doctrines and texts that I arrived where I am today. It was through dialogue that I learned to truly open my mind. I would talk most days, sometimes for hours, to my sixth form college's Catholic lay chaplain. We talked often about faith, but he never once in 2 years discussed doctrine, the philosophy of religion, or Christian apologetics. We talked about justice, peace, love, care, community, and liberation. Hearing how he talked about his life of discipleship and watching how he cared for his community allowed me to open my closed mind to the fact that a Christian life well lived is something to strive for. Realizing that my fervent calling to enact justice, preach liberation, and care deeply for all life was, in fact, a Christian calling. So I was never told how to be a Christian, but little did I know it at the time, I was being shown how to be a Christian. Opening my mind was one matter, but opening my heart was another. How could I have faith when I was consumed by so many doubts? How could I call myself a Christian when I had so many questions? In the lead up to Easter of this year, I decided to attend for the first time my local Methodist church. The preacher, as if he knew exactly the struggle I had been experiencing, preached on the necessity of doubt in faith and the way in which certainty in our own fallible assumptions can limit God, who is beyond anything that we can imagine. Having just deconstructed my previous beliefs, the certainty of which I had been entirely convinced, I knew a little something about the limits of certainty. This reassurance was enough for me to throw myself into faith, and through worship and prayer, I began to undertake the radical act of softening my heart in Christian love, obeying God in discipleship, listening to God and noticing him everywhere, and working to enact his justice as a messenger of his word and his love. I am by no means perfect at this, none of us are, and you don't need me to tell you that. Yet, as I am confirmed, I ask humbly that I may be steadfast in discipleship, that I may grow in God's love and reflect it to others in abundance, that I may serve his church in any way that he desires, and serve his world and his people with an open mind and an open heart. Thank you.
J. Jacob, thank you so much for inspiring us. No, I still need you here at the moment. Yes, don't worry. So I have a few questions to ask you. They are on the screen, but you have your book in front of you. Your answer to both the questions is, by the grace of God, I do. So Jacob, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide?
By the grace of God, I do.
Friends, I invite you to stand if you're comfortable to do so as we affirm together our faith. So we say together, we believe in God the Father, who made the world your temple. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who redeemed humankind. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God. By your power and grace, Lord, strengthen this your servant, that Jacob may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Increase in Jacob your gifts of grace and fill him with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of discernment and inner strength, the spirit of knowledge, holiness, and awe. Lord, confirm your servant Jacob by your Holy Spirit, that he may continue yours forever. Amen. Please do stand up, my friend. Now, those of you who know Methodism will know that we do this peculiar other thing. So we confirm and then we receive into membership. So we now come to receive Jacob into membership of this church here. So Jacob, we receive you and welcome you as a member of the Methodist Church and of Wesley Memorial Methodist Church here. Could we give Jacob a huge round of applause, please? Congregation, you may be seated. Janet, as our senior steward, is now going to come and offer what we call the hand of fellowship, the right hand, usually, of fellowship, and to welcome Jacob into the life of the church. And I'm going to do the same officially. Jacob, you are enormously welcome. You are extremely gifted, as we can see from what you've shared. And we will pray for you and care for you and share with you. So thank you for making us your home for this time. We come to a few promises which Jacob is now asked to make. And again, your response is, with God's help, I will. Jacob, I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace by making these promises. Will you commit yourself to the Christian life of worship and service and be open to the renewing power of God?
With God's help, I will.
Will you seek the strength of God's Spirit as you accept the cost of following Jesus Christ in your daily life?
With God's help, I will.
Will you witness by word and deed to the good news of God in Christ and so bring glory to God?
With God's help, I will.
Thank you. Friends in the congregation, you are invited to share in a response in a few moments. Your response is also, with God's help, we will. And I invite you to do so enthusiastically. Members of the body of Christ, we rejoice that this, our sibling Jacob, has been confirmed. Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that Jacob may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? That enthusiastic enough, Jacob?
So.
Do you think? You think so. You're being generous. That's good. We have a few small things for you here. You have a certificate of confirmation. You now have your very exciting Methodist membership card. and a little gift from us, which I'm sure you will be able to put to good use. Would you stay there for a moment as we pray for you? Friends, we're going to pray a prayer together now, so let us pray. Generous God, touch us again with the fire of your Spirit and renew us by your grace, that we may live in love and unity with all who follow Christ. Amen. And a prayer for you, Jacob. Holy God, we give you thanks for Jacob, for his gifts and all that he has to share. We pray that you would help him to grow in faith, to nurture that faith that you have planted in him. And we pray that we might be a fellowship of care, of learning, and of enthusiasm with Jacob. Bless him now. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, my friend. Thank you. Friends, we're going to sing a hymn that Jacob has chosen for today. It's number 663, if you're following in a hymn book. Number 663, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, we sing together.
I have heard when he called.
Please do be seated. We're now going to hear our scripture readings, first from the prophet Jeremiah, and then from the Gospel according to Luke. Thank you to our readers.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness.
And from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
Thank you, Keith and Jenny. Shall we pray? Holy and gracious God, as we read your words of scripture, as perhaps we are troubled by them, as we hear with new ears at this time of challenge in the world, we pray that we may be alert, we may watch and wait for your coming. We may lift our heads. We may stand for peace and justice. Holy One, as we reflect upon your word, pray that you will give us open hearts and open minds. And may the words I offer be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Friends, we have arrived in Advent. I always feel that moment of Advent as getting the purple stole out. It's a moment, and I have to say purple is my favourite colour, so that always helps. But that moment when we arrive in Advent, I wonder how many of you enjoy waiting. Anyone? Depends what you're waiting for, I guess. I'd like to think that I'm a reasonably patient person. Others of you may disagree, but I do find some things very difficult to wait for. I find myself particularly impatient around public transport. I find myself particularly impatient when there are crowds blocking the street and I'm trying to get somewhere. I remember a few years ago, just before the beginning of Advent, I stood in a crowded St. Pancras International Station, and it was hugely crowded, waiting for my train home to Dover. And I felt like a sardine in a tin. There were so many people standing in that space, waiting for the same train. And you know that kind of desperate rush when the train arrives to try and get in a door and get a seat as quickly as you can, or at least you hope so. Some things we describe as worth waiting for. I always remember as a child when I was impatient with my mum, wanting her to do something immediately, she would often rebuff me with, "I waited 9 months for you, you can wait 9 minutes." But now we enter a period of waiting, for that is what Advent is. Advent, from the Latin term advenio, means coming. This is a time of reflection, a time of preparation, a time of renewed alertness to what God is doing. And yet already surrounding us is all the glitz of Christmas. How do we wait when everything wants us to be at Christmas already, to miss the waiting time and come to the inevitable celebration? This is a time to reflect on how receptive we are to Christ now. How do we live the gift of life God has given in the world today? Not just rush ahead to the next moment. We are not just waiting to open the next window of our Advent calendar, whether it be chocolate or tea or cheese or alcohol inside or Lego even. We are not just waiting for Christmas, for Christmas trees and tinsel, for turkey and presents, for overindulgence, or even Brussels sprouts, if you absolutely have to. Advent is a time for us not just to zoom down to the local shops or to hit the internet for Black Friday deals, but to be still and to enter into the moment, a time to discover God's presence in the midst of all that we see, all that can feel really quite dark and difficult at this moment, a time to discover God's presence in the in-between times, a time of quiet, a time when instant gratification is not on the agenda. Instead, what is on the agenda is waiting. And what we wait for is, in fact, a free gift. We wait for the Christ child. We wait for an experience of God's grace afresh, which is given to us absolutely free. Our scriptures this morning speak words of hope, even in the midst of disaster. In this time of waiting, pregnant with expectation, Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And friends, I think it is important to acknowledge here in this moment that which is still raging in the Middle East. As we speak of Israel in our scripture readings and in our Advent hymns, the days are surely coming when justice and righteousness will flood the lands. And goodness, do we need that right now. As wars continue to rage across the world, in decisions that our government have taken this week, whether we agree with the concept of assisted dying or not. Who will care for the vulnerable, we wonder? Who will safeguard those who cannot safeguard themselves? Who will resist all forms of injustice? We long for that justice and righteousness to flow throughout the world. Yet at times it can feel as if the darkness closes in. Jesus in Luke's gospel reminds his disciples to be alert so that the day would not catch them unexpectedly like a trap. Paul uses the term thief in the night. The thief will not come in and steal. This season of Advent, friends, I believe, takes us right back to basics. We rediscover just how dependent we are upon those moments of God speaking in our lives, and how stale and staid our faith journey could become without these gifts of awakening to the inbreaking dimension of God's presence and God's purpose for us. Through the Sundays in Advent, we recall how the prophets were compelled to proclaim, to challenge, and to act. How John the Baptist was filled with fiery passion to preach and baptize in preparation for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. How Mary accepted the heart-piercing gift of bearing Jesus in the knowledge that in birthing and cradling his life, she was participating in the divine rebirth of hope for humanity. I wonder, friends, what Holy Spirit moments will God offer to us in this Advent season if we will take the time to watch and to wait? Will we be vigilant when they occur and be willing and prepared to be changed by all that we experience? There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, says Luke's gospel. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. These words perhaps feel more pertinent than ever at this time. And we do have to sit with the discomfort, I believe, and not just brush away. The last time I was preaching here, I spoke of resisting injustice. And I think that is relevant to today's text too. For the church, it seems the lead up to Christmas is a reflective, sometimes somber season. Traditionally, Advent was those 40 days of penance and prayer and fasting, not a countdown to Christmas. Or as one child in an assembly I led a few years ago said, it's the time where you can have chocolate for breakfast. Advent looks back to the first coming of Christ, but more importantly, forward to Christ's return in glory. So what are we waiting for? We're waiting for a child. Recalling that journey I spoke of earlier from St. Pancras to Dover, I sat on a packed train. Yes, I did get a seat. It involved a little bit of shoving, but that's the way that it works, isn't it, sadly? I confess I didn't shove anyone who needed a seat out of the way. The mood in the carriage was a bit fractious, as busy trains often are, as more people attempted to squeeze into a confined space. And the very high-speed trains from London to Dover could be a bit challenging if you were standing. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the middle of this fractious space, there was a peal of joyful laughter. One of those laughs that could only come from a toddler who was being tickled or just found something randomly hysterical. And it continued, that beautiful sound, ebbing and flowing and resonating in the air. And I noticed the mood in the carriage begin to shift. People around me were beginning to smile as they heard this sound. That beautiful laughter was infectious and captivating and mood shifting. Gone for just a moment were the scowls and the hostility and the thud of bass through headphones. That laughter pierced the gloom, the joy of a child. Friends, we wait for the Christ child, for joy and hope, for light and love, and the return of that child in glory. So we will wait, maybe not as patiently as we ought. We will wait, maybe not always in alertness. We will wait, maybe not as expectantly as we could, but we will wait. And I pray that in this time of waiting, reflecting and preparing, that we will encounter afresh the presence of Christ among us. We wait, and we wait in hope. Let's pray for a moment. Holy God, our deliverer, whose approaching birth still shakes the foundations of our world, may we so wait for your coming with eagerness and hope that we embrace without terror the labor pangs of the new age. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, we come to our next hymn, number 177, if you're following in a hymn book, number 177. You can't really have an Advent Sunday service without singing this. We're going to sing together, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending."
Oh,
Richard. Delighted to invite John to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, John.
In our prayers to the bidding, come Lord Jesus, please respond the same, come Lord Jesus. Let us pray together. As we begin our Advent journey in joyful expectation of his kingdom coming, we pray to our Lord saying, come Lord Jesus.
Come Lord Jesus.
Come to your world as King of the nations. And we pray for the leaders of the world, so often divided and unable to see you in the vulnerable, poor and needy of the world, and also often unwilling to prioritize them. At this time where conflict exists in so many parts of the world, may those leading our nations be roused to work untiringly for a world where all are fed, sheltered, healed, and at peace. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come to your church as our Lord. We thank you and pray for Jacob, as he's been received into membership of your church this morning, in a significant point in his faith journey. We pray too for students here in Oxford and at Wesley Mem as the end of term approaches. We think of those travelling home over the next couple of weeks. And we pray especially for Joseph as he returns to the United States after a term here as a visiting student. We pray for your church here at Wesley Memorial and throughout the world, still waiting expectantly, still seeking the fullness of Jesus' teaching. May we be unafraid to dream and alert to your presence. Make us faithful servants and courageous witnesses who show the face of Christ to the world. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us each a longing to do your will. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to your people as saviour and bearer of pain. We pray for those waiting for a welcome, for refugees wanting a safe place to be, and for all those who need welcome and hospitality, for families that are divided and yearn for reconciliation, and for situations where that doesn't happen, for the homeless, the unloved, those who don't feel they fit in for whatever reason, and for those searching for meaning in life, and those still waiting for compassion, forgiveness, and love. Enfold us all in your love and mercy. Wipe away the tears of busyness, fear, frustration, and distress, and set us free to serve you more fully. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Loving Lord, come into our world of darkness and light up our lives with your coming. Help us to watch and wait patiently for your coming and your presence, and fulfill our longings with the joy of your birth. Strengthen our resolve to work for change in our world and share the hope of your birth that each Advent brings. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
John, thank you so much for leading us. Friends, we come to the peace, and I invite you, if you're comfortable to stand, to do so. Once we have said the words together, I invite you to briefly share a sign of the peace in whatever way you are comfortable, and then we will sing our next hymn. So I invite you to stand if you are able. Friends, may the God of peace make us holy and keep us free from every fault as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please do briefly share a sign of peace. I stopped working. Bit of feedback. Sorry, friends, we're having a bit of a microphone issue. Is that better? No? That's worse. Is that okay? Excellent. Marvellous. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is number 180, if you're following in a hymn book. During our hymn, we will also take up our offering. Please don't worry if you haven't come prepared. A basket will pass through the rows. If you simply just pass on to the next person, and please don't feel in any way obliged or embarrassed. We will sing together, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
friends, I invite you to remain standing if you are comfortable to do so. If a seated position is more comfortable, then please do so. We offer a prayer for our offering. Holy and gracious God, we come bringing our gifts, just a little of all that you bless us with. We pray that you would take these gifts and use them for your glory. In the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, all are welcome to share in bread and wine when we come to that moment. If you would like to receive, you will be invited to come and either stand or kneel around the rail at the front here. If you would like to receive bread and wine, if you would please put your hands out before you. If you would prefer to come and receive a blessing, please do come forward and indicate to those who are serving. And if you would rather remain quietly in your seat, then please do what feels most comfortable for you. Our bread is gluten-free, and our wine is non-alcoholic. All are welcome to this table. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of all glory and light of our salvation, we offer you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. By your living word, you called all things into being, breathed into life the desire of your heart, and shaped us in your own likeness. Though we rejected your love, you did not give us up or cease to fashion our salvation. You made a covenant to be our God, spoke to us through the prophets, and prepared the way for our redemption. We praise you that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of eternity, announced by angels and born of Mary. He became incarnate, fulfilling the promise of your salvation. And so we offer our praise with all your people, on earth and in heaven. With the full chorus of your creation, we proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, Lord God, King of the universe, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." We say together, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Therefore, recalling his death and resurrection, and in obedience to his command, we celebrate the offering of his eternal sacrifice until he comes again. Through him, our priest and king, accept us as a living sacrifice, a people for your praise. Generous and holy God, pour out your spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Refashion us in your image that we may be found ready at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours, O Lord, forever and ever. Please do be seated. Like those that look for the morning, so our souls wait for the Lord. Be known to us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread. My friends, the true bread of heaven gives life to the world. So come all who are hungry, come and eat. Come all who are thirsty, come and drink. Siblings in Christ, please do draw near, for all is prepared. Siblings in Christ, go from this table to watch, to wait for the coming of Christ again. Amen. Siblings in Christ, go from this table to love, to serve, and to watch. In Christ's name, amen. siblings in Christ go in Christ's name to love, to serve, to watch, and to wait. Amen. Siblings in Christ, may you go in Christ's name to love, to serve, to wait, and to watch. Amen. Siblings in Christ, go in Christ's name to love and to serve, to watch and to wait expectantly. Amen. The body of Christ is given for you. So let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Keep us in your grace, and at the coming of Christ in glory, bring us with your saints into the life of your kingdom. Amen. Friends, our final hymn, I can't remember the number because it's not in front of me, so I apologise. I think it's 172. You can test me on that. It is. Excellent. We sing together, Hills of the North that Rejoice. Friends, please do join us for tea and coffee after the service if you are able to stay. Please do follow the crowd through this door on my left, on your right, and you will receive a very warm welcome. My apologies for the service going on a little longer than usual. Shall we pray? Holy One, may we catch sight of the wonder of your coming in Christ. And may we be ready to greet him when he comes again. For the day of the Lord is surely coming. May we be faithful in worship, unwavering in hope, fervent in the work of God's kingdom, this day and always. Amen.